get our call started this morning. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you being a part of the call, and we are excited because the man of God is on the line this morning, and I am always so blessed to hear and to be taught and to receive Rhema instruction as each and every one of you are on the call. And so let me go on and mute out the line. As I just told for some of you all who are coming on the line, we have some exciting things that have just happened. We're celebrating with our co-host, Dr. P.K. Roberts, that she is a new Gigi. J.D. has a little sister this morning. Granddaughter came into the world yesterday afternoon around 5 o'clock. She called and was all excited. And Davola, the mother, her daughter is doing well. So mother and daughter are well. So we send words of congratulations to her. So we're going to go on and get started. And we're going to have our opening prayer. And I'm sorry, Amber, I'm not looking at the prayer schedule. Who's to open us up this morning in prayer?
Okay, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Praise God. Hallelujah. As we go to the throne of grace. In the morning, O Lord, you hear our voice, and in the morning we lay our request before you and wait in expectation. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to your throne room boldly. God, in this day and this hour and this master call, God, and this day that we have not seen, but even before the foundation of the world, you set it in place. And so, God, we're thankful and we're grateful for allowing us to see a dawning of a new day. And as we command the morning, God, Father God, knowing that the airways, the spiritual airways and highways are opening up as the portals of heaven, Father God, as the angels are ascending and descending on our behalf. And God, we thank you for health and strength and activities of our limbs, food, clothing, and shelter. We thank you for your blood covering. And God, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for, Father God, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is raining down and preparing our hearts and minds to receive your word. Give us this day our daily bread, God. And we thank you for your anointed and appointed vessel, God. And we ask you to continue to use him for your glory. Let rivers of living water flows according to your word, God. We thank you for the strategies and the blueprint that you have given him on this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and being glad in it, God. God, we bind the hand of the enemy. We come against any sabotaging spirit. We dismantle the hand of the enemy. We reverse it and send it back to the very pit of hell. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are in the midst of us, because we know that when two or three of us are gathered together, you are in the midst. So God, we just submit ourselves, we humble ourselves to your word, and we thank you and we praise you for what you have already done. We just receive it and we're open to it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Amber, for opening up the heavens, setting the atmosphere so that the word of God can go forth. And as I love to say, when a prayer, an anointed prayer goes forth, it truly makes preaching and teaching easy. Well, we are excited on this Tuesday. I tell you, I'm even more excited and humbled and blessed because during my visit in Milwaukee, I got to love even more and honor even more the man of God, our speaker this morning, and his lovely wife. And I'm going to ask her to come on the line now because I just get a joy out of watching in demonstration her love and ammunition, her total support for the man of God and the ministry of God, which they just so beautifully flow in. And Dr. Jay, are you on the line? Dr. Joycelyn Henderson? Could
yes,
you please
ma'am,
come
I
and
am.
Introduce our speaker for the morning?
Good morning, Pastor Vanessa.
Good morning.
I am so honored to be on this call this morning, and I am so delighted to know you have snow in Dallas. I bless the Lord for it.
Thank you.
I am just privileged today to, again, introduce our speaker this morning. It is an absolute privilege for me. He hails from Brookhaven, Mississippi, via Hartford, Wisconsin, via Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on the north side of town right now. And he is the senior pastor of Berean Family Worship Center for now the last 25 years. And he is an apostle in this region. And we just thank the Lord for his faithfulness, first of all, to the Lord, as well as faithfulness to his family. He is my husband, also the father of our children, a man of honor, man of integrity, a man of truth. And I am here this morning to present to some and just reintroduce to others my prophet, my priest, my provider, my pastor, as well as the one that makes my jello still move. And I just bless the Lord this morning for the jiggle in my jello, Dr. Walter Henderson III. Pastor, are you on the call this morning?
Yes, I am. Good morning to everyone. Can you
good
hear
morning,
me okay?
Pastor.
Oh, good morning, sweetheart. Good morning to you, Pastor Vanessa, and to the Robert's hearty congratulations. Praise God. I don't know about these introductions. I don't even find difficulty finding my voice after all of this. Praise God. good morning to each of you, and it is just truly a blessing and an honor, again, to be on the Master's call. Pray God that your year has started very, very well, and you're off and running to the destiny that God has placed before you. Praise God. We're believing for great things. I want to share this morning with you about foundation systems for building godly success. Foundation systems for building godly success. You know, there's two types of success. You can have what the world calls success or what God calls success. And I want to talk about that, and then I want to give you seven things that will help you to build the godly success that he wants you to have. So I'm going to be giving you quite a bit, as I normally do, but I'm going to give you scriptures and things. But I want you to really chew on this, because in this year, this is a transition period where we need to make sure that we are running with everything we have to accomplish what God has called us to do. Success is not built, success that is not built on solid foundation will be temporary. True and lasting success comes from God. You must build on a solid foundation. And it doesn't matter whether it's your business of artists, whether it is your ministry, whether it is a marriage, it doesn't matter. There must be solid foundations. And because foundation determine how much you can build. I remember once in our ministry I was doing, and I came before the Lord. I was saying, Lord, I don't know what else I can do. I've done everything I know to do concerning this ministry. And the Lord spoke to me and said, your foundation is too small. He said, you have to change your foundation. I poured all I can into that foundation. And I initially didn't understand what the Lord was speaking, but I began to get revelation about it. And as soon as I changed the foundation, the ministry began to grow. And so you need to understand a foundation determines what God can pour into it. And so you many times going to have to look at your foundation, praise God. The foundation determines how much weight that the building can hold. And so you and I need to have godly foundation. True and lasting success comes from foundation that is given and built by God. The Word of God is the compass and map to success. The Word of God is the compass and map to success. Our eyes must be open to behold the wondrous secrets contained in God's law. Psalms 119:8 said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I challenge you to incorporate that into your prayer life, not to just make it a mantra, something we just quote over and over or pray over and over, but really to meditate upon it and pray that by faith. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Revelation of God's word is the key to understanding the pillars of success. A new revelation of God's word is capable of starting a revolution in your life. Job described this revelation and the benefits of it as the secret of God upon him. Job 29:4 said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Now, that word secret of God there means a forum or a godly council. And it meant in Job here that Job was able to sit with God in counsel. If you're going to have your business, you need to have God as your counselor, your business partner. You need to have him as your advisor. Amen. Thank God for all the other wonderful things. We can read all those material, but I need to run that by my advisor. Praise God. Job said that was the time when I had God as my counselor. I had God as the secret on my house. And so that people saw me as being wise, but I drew my revelation from God. And he made me a success. Praise God forevermore. And that's what you and I need. The Bible refers to good success, Joshua 1 and 8. And you remember God told Joshua that if he would do these things, keep the word in his mouth, that he would have good success. And good success means to make or to cause by discernment or intelligence. Good success from God comes from, it means to make or to cause by discernment or intelligence. You cannot have success on a continuous basis without discerning what you're to do, discerning the timing, discerning people. It comes a time, many times, I can't just talk to people and take forever to learn. I got to discern them by the Holy Ghost. And so we need the intelligence. That is our learning. I need to put my book work in. I need to put my study in. I need to do the things I need to do. Good success is based upon God's word. Good success comes with no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. There's some folks got a lot of money. There's some folks got a lot of riches, but they're almost crazy. And their family crazy. Everybody around them is crazy. No, I want the blessing of the Lord that make it rich and adds no sorrow with it. Ephesians 1:11 said, we have obtained an inheritance. We're not going to get in the hearse or hope to have one in the future. I already have one. If I'm born again, I'm a believer. Now, the reason God takes these things and shows them to us so we can have faith to believe for them. Amen? And that's important. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 said, it is the power. God has given us the power to get wet, to get wealth, that the Father may establish his covenant. Now, either that's true or it's a lie. That power is an enablement. We call it an anointing. We call it the blessing of God. But you need to understand it is inherent. That means it is built in to the believer who is born again. Now, you have to get it from God. You can't get it from the world system. You must get this from God. And that's very important that we understand that. Now, God takes pleasure in your success. Psalms 35 and 27 tells us that. That God actually takes joy. Psalm 35, 27 says this, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I'm so glad God takes pleasure in my prosperity. And notice the instruction, let them shout for joy. Do you? And be glad. Are you? That favor my righteous cause. Oh, there's a condition. Do you favor his righteous cause, or are you favoring your cause? He said, let them say continually. Do you? Let the Lord be magnified. Do you say it continually? Which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know why God says to continue? So you can get that in your spirit. So it becomes built into you that your expectation is based upon God's word. It's very interesting. God gives us instruction. We read it and clap our hands and rejoice, but we don't follow it. God help us in the days to come to not only become hearers of this word, but truly become doers of that word. Praise God forevermore. Now, if there is good success, there must be some bad success. There is the prosperity of the wicked. Psalms 73:3 said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So if there's good success, there's some bad success. The world calls it success, but it's not good. There is the prosperity of fools. Proverbs 1:32 says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, you can get a lot of money and it can destroy you and your family. What God calls prosperity is not money. Money is a result of the prosperity on your life. Money comes with it. It's a benefit of it. But prosperity, God begins to prosper you in your own body, in your own marriage, in your own family, in your own neighborhood, in your own church, whatever you're putting your hands to, that's prosperity. It is not money. And see, that's why the Bible said that the love of money, you cannot pursue money. It will do you harm. You must pursue God. You must pursue his hand. You must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. And then he adds this to you. It is inherent. It is already given to you. And you have access by faith into this glorious, glorious gospel. Praise God. The ungodly that prosper in the world system. Psalm 73 and 12 said, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So you see there is some bad success as far as the word of God is concerned. God is committed to revealing to us how to be a success. Deuteronomy 29 and 9 says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Isaiah 48 and 17 said, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. 3 John and 2 said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So we see that God is committed to our success. And you and I need to come to a place that we spend a lot of time reading a lot of other books, and there's nothing wrong with gathering that information, but how much time are you spending in God's word? Are you like Job, who has the secret of God, that has the counsel of God, that can receive from God, and that will give you lasting success? Well, let me give you seven things here, and I'll be done, and that will help you and I receive these foundation system for building godly success. Number one, let's talk about what these secrets are of God, and these revelations for our lives. Number one, redemption. We become redeemed by being born again. Being the redeemer of the Lord makes you a child of God. This position entitles you to the secrets of God. Mark 4 and 11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable. I love, you go through the New Testament, you're going to see this word mysteries quite a bit. And I love this word because in the Greek word it's mysterion, and it means for the initiated. And some of you, again, we've talked about this previously, but have gone to college, you pledged certain fraternities or sororities or what have you, and there was certain information you didn't get until you were initiated. Well, mysterion, and that's what it means. When you got born again, it made you qualified now to get initiated into the mysteries of the kingdom. And God has hidden these things from the enemy. God has hidden it from the world because they would take the blessings of God and abuse them. But you are qualified. Unto you it is given to know how the kingdom works so that you can receive all of the blessings of God, the enablement, empowerment to have wealth so that God may establish his covenant. Number two, consecration. This is another way to gain God's revelation in your life. Proverbs 1 and 23 said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. When God is dealing with you and I, we have to turn. God is not just trying to get you to be obedient, but that obedience will bring you into your promised land. It will bring you into your Canaan land. It will bring you into the plan God had of your life before the foundations of the world. Turn, he says. Now, it's very important that you and I do that, which brings us to our next step, unction. Number three is unction, U-N-C-T-I-O-N. The Holy Spirit and the anointing in your life brings you an unction. That's why he said, turn to my reproof. The Holy Spirit, and there's many of these, but let me just give you one book here that will help. It has been a hallmark in my life, a benchmark, if you will, for revelation. 1 John 2 and 20, and also verse 27. 1 John 2 and 20 said, but you have an unction, or in other translations say an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. This anointing, this Spirit of God in your life has already provided everything you will need to carry out the assignment of God on your life. It is already there. And then the 27th verse said, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, in other words, when he said you don't have any men to need anyone to teach you, it means concerning the truth. The Holy Ghost is there to confirm truth in your life. The Holy Ghost is there to confirm direction in your life. And you don't need any man sitting there continuously prophesying and you telling you every direction to take. Not to the new believer, not to the born-again believer. The Holy Ghost, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit is my lead. Now, thank God for men and women who God will send to confirm and to help clarify some things for me. But the Spirit of God is there to instruct and to lead me in these things. And it said he's the Spirit of truth. He will not lie. And so I can't continuously ignore him and throw him off because he is directing me. He knows what time I need to be there at a certain point because God has aligned several people that are interconnected with my blessing. They're interconnected with my destiny. I'm a part of theirs. They're a part of mine. And we need to meet on a certain day. I cannot refuse him because he's setting me up for the days to come. Praise God forevermore. And that's very, very important for me to understand this unction. And then Ephesians 4 and 30 said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him because he's working for your good. Number four is agape. That means the Bible says love in the King James, love. But agape is God's unconditional love. It's not moved or motivated by feelings or emotions. I will do what's right because it is the right thing to do, because it brings glory to my King, to my God. Whether I feel like it or not has nothing to do about it. Many times you get up in the morning, you have to go to work. You don't check your feeling. Do you feel like going to work today? Because if you do that many days, you're just not going to make it. I'm telling you right now. You override your feelings. You override your emotions because you know there's a purpose, a goal I have to accomplish. Well, into the believer, if you're going to grow and mature, really come to revelation knowledge of God's word, you must be governed by agape, unconditional love. Now, Matthew 23 and then 37 through 40 talks about that, and it said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything God's going to do is hanging on these two commandments. You do these two commandments, you fulfill the whole Bible. You must love God with all of your heart, all of your might, everything in you. Secondly, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Everything God is doing is based upon those two relationships. You cannot love God and hate me because you don't love him if you hate me. Something is wrong. There is a disconnect made. And you cannot love me and then hate God. So everything God's going to do, God works by this. Everything God does is motivated by his love. And so in other words, in this agape, you must do this if you're going to have God's revelation. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 said, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. When you're going to love God, you got to love me. And there's things God has prepared for you. You cannot get it naturally. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't get it through your mental processes. There's something must come from the spirit realm itself. But it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Nobody has even thought about it. The things which God has prepared for them that love him, agape him. Now, faith works by love, Galatians 5 and 6 tell us, or it says faith is energized by love. And it's nice to have some big, nice screen TVs and all those things plugged into your local outlet, but if there's no energizing, if there's no electricity, they won't work. And many times our faith doesn't work because we won't live by agape. it is important for you and I to understand this principle. We're like a cord that is broken, and we keep jingling it to make it work now and then. We have the iron, or we have some television, and we keep working the cord. We get it to work, but then it moves, and then we can't work it. And some of us are like that with our faith. It just don't work all the time. Now, number five, meekness. Let me hurry. Oh, my God, meekness. Abiding in meekness qualifies us to be taught of the Lord. Psalms 25:9 said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. Moses was the meekest man on earth, Numbers 12:3. Jesus was meek, Matthew 11:29. And James 4:6 tell us that God resists the proud. Number six, meditation. Meditation causes you to profit or to be advantaged. Psalms 1:2-3 said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. 1 Timothy 4:15 said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Is your profiting appearing? Well, maybe it's because you hadn't meditated and given yourself to those things. Psalms 119:99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And finally, number seven, study. Study causes one to search out the meaning of God's word. Proverbs 25:2 said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Do you? Are you a king? You should be searching. We should study God's word, the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. We should study the writings of anointed men and women of God to draw from their years of experience. I pray God for your foundation system will be enlarged for the building of godly success in your life. Pastor Vanessa, back to you.
Amen, amen. What a word, what a word. Awesome teaching. Foundation systems for godly success. And I tell you, those seven key points of being redeemed, being consecrated, the unction of the Holy Ghost, got to have that agape love, walking in the meekness of Christ, the meditation, and the study of God's word. Thank you so much, Pastor Henderson, for those rich nuggets of truth. I tell you, we are always so blessed on this call by your teaching and by you expounding on God's word. Well, we're going to now close out our call with a time of prayer. I know that Candy is on the program, on the call to lead us in prayer. Candy, are you there? Is your voice back with us this morning?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Will you go ahead and close us out in prayer? We just had one major prayer request at the beginning of the call. Tiffany said something that really can apply not just for California, but for all over, where they've had strange incidences of people jumping off of buildings and just killing themselves, giving up on hope. And that spirit of suicide comes in and deceives many, and really to pray for the families after these tragic and untimely loss. So if you could close us out in prayer. Thank you, Candy. The floor is yours.
Heavenly Father, to you this morning, Lord, as we leave this call but not your presence, Lord, continue to lift you up and to your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for this master learning call. We thank you, Lord, for God. We thank you for those keys of wisdom, Lord God. We thank you that the message that we heard was filled with wisdom. It was filled with insight and inspiration. And Lord God, we thank you, praise you for him, and we thank and praise you for that message this morning. God, we thank you that you are a good God. You are a God, and there is no other like you. You and you alone are worthy of our praise. Lord, imitators of you. As Pastor Anderson this morning, Lord, teach us to walk in love and truth and light and in wisdom. Father, we thank and praise you for you, God. Father, we thank and praise you. Matthew 6 tells us that signs will follow those that believe. And in your name we shall cast out devils, shall speak with new. we shall take up serpents, and if anything we touch it, Lord, it will not hurt us, Lord. Father God, so we thank and praise you for your protection. And Father God, we those who are feelings of hopelessness, Lord, for those who are committing suicide, for the fears of those people, Lord, we cry out, Lord God. And Father, you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. You said that which I find on earth bound in heaven, and that that I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, our principalities, the darkness of this world, bind and cast down spiritual wickedness in high places and render them ineffective against our and those who are calling out to us for prayer, Lord God. Father, I speak to growths and tumors and infirmities. Command them to leave the body, God's peace. I command the thought process of our feeling hopeless to line up with Father God. They have no right to dwell in your people, and you are, those things are a thing of the past. And Father, we just lose you. We lose healing. We lose the blood of Jesus to flow through every vein, to flow through every cell of the infected bodies and those people that are out to you, Lord. I call upon your word to manifest in the body of every person on our prayer list, casting out growths and disappearing tumors, Lord, and all diseases have to be gone. I demand all bones and joints and hearts and blood and organs and tissues and emotional disturbances to line up with the word of God and function properly. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this ministry and every person who joins this call. Your anointing is working in, on, and through us to accomplish your will, and you will be glorified in all that we do. I speak to the finances of your people. Lack be more. Prosperity enter into our lives and make us flourish for your glory, God. And enough. Help us to know that you supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ.
Yes, God.
Father, I decree by faith that grace, your grace, is now ministering to every person by this prayer. Father, send laborers across our paths. Confirm to them that you and now their time of deliverance is now. Give us the knowledge. Believing that your word, that you can do your word, believing that you will word, your will void but will accomplish what it purposes. Help us to receive your love, your healing touch, and to trust and to make them whole again. We decree that they are made whole now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank you for that powerful closing prayer and covering the prayer requests, Candy. And again, we thank you for that awesome word, Pastor Henderson, that we will definitely take to our heart. I see my co-host has joined us on the line, and we've been celebrating the birth of her new grandchild. Just one announcement, because we did not do announcements at the beginning. I'm encouraging everybody to go to our website, themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com, and there you'll find within an hour this message, this powerful message today, and all of our previous messages will be there. And again, as we always are encouraging you, just next week, all roads will be headed to Extravaganza. Today, the end of the month has been extended, so even though it's February 1st, our home office, I tell you, they're trying to do everything they can to help us get to our goals. So we have all the way to midnight Pacific Standard Time tonight to get more business in so we can do that last push to reach our goals. We thank you, Ms. Amber, for opening up the call. And Dr. PK, did you want to make any closing remarks before we close out our call today? All righty, I see her. I guess you got the line muted. Well, again, we thank each and every one of you all for being on the call today. We thank you for being a part of our Master's Call family. As we always encourage you to go out and do the work of the master, be Jesus' hands extended, and be that minister in the marketplace. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you on the line tomorrow with our anointed speaker, our son in the minister, Pastor Chuck Brown will be with us. And I tell you, we're just excited about these powerful men and women of God who each and every day bring us his rhema. Go out and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.